This is Plant-Based Briefing. Toxic superfoods is toxic misinformation. Part 2 by Lee Ettinger, MD at nutritionstudies.org. And I'm your host, Marian Erickson. This is the Plant-Based Podcast where I curate and narrate a variety of articles with permission in about 10 minutes or less every weekday about various topics related to plant-based and vegan living. And this article today is longer than 10 minutes, so it's a two-parter. I read part 1 yesterday, so go back and listen to that first, and then jump back here for part 2. So now let's get to today's plant-based briefing. Toxic Superfoods is Toxic Misinformation, part 2 by Lee Ettinger, MD at nutritionstudies.org. Against the grain, decades of research ignored. Ms. Norton seems to have a highly calcified bone to pick with the plant-eating humans of the world. She frequently goes on a tangent about the dangers of vegetarianism and veganism. On page 108, she writes, "Because vegetarian diets inherently rely on high-carbohydrate grains, beans, starchy vegetables, and fruits, they tend to cause chronic hunger, high blood sugar, and high insulin levels. These are the elements leading to low muscle mass, a high percentage of body fat, and metabolic syndrome." Decades of studies cited here, many of which are likely well known to this audience, show the opposite healthful effects of unprocessed carbohydrates. These references represent only the smallest tip of the iceberg. I could cite countless peer-reviewed studies to illustrate how severely at odds Ms. Norton's claims are with the scientific literature. You can also find many articles on our website about related subjects, including what causes insulin resistance, is fat the cause of type 2 diabetes? Linked here. To learn more about the science behind a plant-based diet, check out Center for Nutrition Studies' Plant-Based Nutrition Certificate, linked here. On page 51, she claims that plants have low nutrient content, which she claims leads to malnourishment, an increased volume of food eaten, and ultimately obesity. Compounding the problem with these deficit plant foods are insidious oxalates and other phytochemicals lurking to greedily soak up sparse minerals and vitamins. Again, it is difficult to square these claims with the huge body of scientific evidence showing that eating more plants reduces the risk of obesity and other diseases and leads to greater longevity. Oxalate at stake. Symptoms may worsen. On pages 161 and 162, she warns that existing symptoms can worsen and new symptoms can develop after people adopt a low oxalate diet, as long-buried oxalate emerges in an oxalate clearing process akin to flushing out a toxic waste dump. One woman wrote to the author that after switching to a low-oxalate diet, she was feeling awful, but also super clean and more energy overall. These oxalate cleaning symptoms presented in Chapter 11 may continue off and on for 7 to 10 years or more. In other words, the measures suggested in this book may cure some vague symptoms or else make them chronically worse. So her thesis is that oxalates, which are found in plant foods in variable amounts and cannot be reliably measured in a symptomatic person, cause numerous ailments and illnesses that may or may not improve, indeed may worsen, when oxalates are lowered in the diet. In my opinion, the Salem witch trials had more grounded theories about the behaviors of the local women than this book has about how oxalate possesses people. Leaf no stone unturned, when to avoid high oxalate foods. There is general agreement about the potential dangers of high oxalate plant foods for people especially predisposed to kidney stones. The American Urologic Association, the National Kidney Foundation, and the European Association of Urology all recommend limiting the intake of oxalate-rich foods. Incidentally, you might recall from the evidence pyramid above that such recommendations are considered the highest quality evidence integrating all of the lower levels. For the minority of individuals at greatest risk for kidney stones, there are some general guidelines for reducing oxalate intake without giving up the plant-based diet. 1. Because oxalate is water-soluble, you can partially remove it from foods by boiling, steaming, or blanching them and discarding the liquid. 2. High oxalate plant foods can be replaced with lower oxalate choices. For example, swap almond milk with oat milk. 3. You can pair oxalate-containing foods with calcium-containing foods or drinks to bind the oxalate in the intestines instead of later in the bloodstream. 4. Staying well hydrated helps keep calcium oxalate molecules in the urine diluted and makes them less likely to congeal into a stone. And 5. Because vitamin C breaks down into oxalate in the body, overdoing it on vitamin C can result in an indirect oxalate load. Avoid vitamin C supplements. If you are not at high risk for developing kidney stones but are still concerned about so-called anti-nutrients, consider the following finding. The plant-heavy DASH eating plan has been shown to reduce the risk of kidney stones by 40 to 50% despite its high oxalate load. This counterintuitive finding has been attributed to the protective and synergistic effects of phytate, potassium, calcium, and other phytochemicals, all abundant in the DASH dietary pattern. So much for noxious plant toxins. The premise presented in Toxic Superfoods is interesting and maybe worth considering, but ultimately the book makes far too many claims that have not been and cannot be proven. Considering the disclaimer that a low oxalate diet may worsen symptoms for many years, I will not be altering my plant-based diet in response to its anecdotal stories. However, if you do try a low oxalate diet and experience benefits, be sure to write to Ms. Norton. You too may appear in the pages of her next book. You just listened to Toxic Superfoods is Toxic Misinformation, Part 2 by Lee Ettinger, MD at nutritionstudies.org. And I'm your host, Marian Erickson. And if you're interested in another episode kind of debunking a dangerous book, check out episode 50, Dr. Gundry's The Plant Paradox is Wrong by Dr. Michael Greger at nutritionfacts.org. And if you're interested in other episodes about kidney disease, I've done a number of those. You can go to plantbasedbriefing.com, episodes, and put kidney in the search field, and those will come up. So please share this episode with anyone who might benefit, and thanks for listening.